How many have been blessed so far? Raise your hand. Amen. I'll tell you, we really believe this book, and I believe that as the one of the professors used to say at Dallas, that God has spoken and he has not stuttered. And thank you for bringing your Bibles. And just in case you left them in the car, or let's say something happened, you left it out near the food or something, we have some visitor Bibles up back, and Bob White will be glad to give you a visitor's Bible. Let me remind the women, you need head coverings on as symbols of your submission to the authority over your head over you. If you're married, it's your husband. If you're still living at home with your dad, it's your father. If you're here in the church setting, it's the pastor, teacher, and the elders. And, of course, in your workplace, it's your boss, your employer as well. And, of course, if you're in the civil area, it's the policemen and the firemen and those who God has placed in authority, along with all the elected leaders. Because his older brothers are very athletic, this guy says, my four-year-old son, Curtis, has attended sporting events since he was knee-high to a grasshopper. One Sunday morning in church, he had attended so many sporting events because of his brothers being in sports across the board, basketball, football, baseball, hockey. He says Curtis was becoming increasingly restless at church, as sometimes little tykes can. And finally, at one point, he grabbed his daddy's arm and looked up to him and said, or his mom's arm and looked up and said, Mom, is it halftime yet? Is it halftime? He was looking for halftime. Well, unfortunately, a lot of Christians think that there's halftime as well in the Christian life, and they get restless and they get impatient. And think back on your life, how many mistakes you've made in decision making that are directly related to being impatient. Maybe you got married to someone the first time, the second time, third time, and you were impatient. And you acted on impulse. From here on in, when I use that word, impulse, I want you to say, just yell back at me. I give you permission to yell at me now. Sudden, involuntary inclination prompting one to action. Say, Pastor, it's been a long workshop. I don't think I can remember all that. All right, let's practice it. Sudden, involuntary inclination prompting one to action. Mark, how would you say that in French? Mark's tired thinking about it. Sudden involuntary inclination prompting one to action. So whenever in the message you hear me use the word impulse, impulsive, Mary Kay, yell it out. Thank you, thank you, thank you. All right, and of course, not just Mary Kay, but anybody who wants to join Mary Kay in a duet, or if you really want to join someone in a trio or a quartet or a quintet or a sextet or whatever it is, please just say it. I'll pause. All right, I'll have a pregnant pause, and you can do that. This morning, I want to talk about the antidote for impulsivity in our lives. And some call it knee-jerk reaction, right? How many have knee-jerk reacted on occasion in their lives? Yeah, some of us do it too regularly, don't we? Does anyone here drive impatiently? Yeah, come on. The rest of you are just lying about it. Does everyone? I do. We're going from A to B. We want to get there as quickly as possible. Or we're late, right? We got those spirits. And so what happens is we're very, very impulsive. We're very, very impatient. This Florida school crossing guard, Dale Rooks, tried everything. He was out there, trying to get cars to slow down. Nothing worked. Steve, you know what he did? He took a blow dryer and wrapped it in electrical tape to make it look like a radar gun. He says it's incredible how quickly they hit the brakes now. The whole parade of red lights and the rear lights, because they're hitting the brakes. He says it's almost comical. It's amazing how well it works. A blow hair dryer. Now, some of you are going to do this. You're going to cut the electrical cord. You're going to run home. And you're going to put electrical tape on the front. And you're going to be pointing it at vehicles. All right? Now, you can't do that as a citizen, because as a regular citizen, because he's a school crossing guard. I guess the police would allow him to do that. But can you imagine? Why does he have to do that? Well, rebellion's tied into it, but people are impatient. People do not want to slow down. And I want to talk about the antidote today. And I want to talk about impulse. Excellent. See, some of you, I want to talk, everybody else, just, you know, go somewhere else. But you mega savants, you know why I'm doing this, don't you? You know that I'm keeping you listening to the message. Because you don't want to wake up. Where is he? Where is he? Right? You don't want an elbow in your side by someone who just says, time to wake up. So I want you to listen. As you look back in your life, you'll soon discover some decisions you made on impulse that you wish you wouldn't have made. Maybe you married right out of high school. Maybe you were still in high school. And the thought just came as you looked at your lover or your date or whoever, and you said, you know, let's get married tonight. Huh? Let's elope. And we'll surprise our parents. Yeah, they'll be surprised, right? And it didn't work out. And you've already chalked up one divorce under your belt. It usually doesn't, by the way. How many, as another example, have purchased a car, a brand new van, a truck? The one they always dreamed of, you know, the fantasy spirits put in your mind. I gotta have it. I just must have it. Saturday morning came, and by Saturday evening, you had already pulled your new vehicle into the driveway. Now, remember that with car salesmen, if their lips are moving, they're lying. Amen. All right? No offense, Jamie, to your brother. But let me put that. Most car salesmen, if their lips are moving, they're lying. They will tell you all sorts of things that you're... The bumper's covered. Everything's covered. The oil changes are covered. And finally, you get the oil change. I was told they were covered. Well, was it in print? Well, no. Well, I was told. Well, that's why we canned that guy. He was lying to people. Sorry, you have to pay for your oil changes. Right? But you got the car. Now you're stuck with it. Some, in terms of another key area, sexual decisions, they acted out with the opposite gender on impulse. He asked, he said, you know, do you really love me? Then you'll prove it. I said, well, you know, I really don't want to do that. You know, I just don't feel right. Oh, if you loved me, babe, you'd prove it to me. Besides, we're getting married next weekend, right? Or next year. You told me you wanted to have children together. You acted on impulse. Now, some of you are just going, blah, 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 blah. And you're not even saying anything. Some of you, your lips are moving like a fish, like a guppy. And some of you are really saying it, not a guppy, a guppy. Young ladies, if a boyfriend's lips are moving and they're asking you for sex, they're lying. But I love you so much. It's the biggest con job you'll ever come across. because all they want is what they want, and once they get it, they'll walk. And they'll pass you in the halls, and you'll say, oh, there he is, and they won't even look at you because you remind them, and they don't feel good about it. And people don't like to be reminded of things that they don't feel good about because they knew they did wrong. Maybe some other examples just kind of flood into your mind right now. Decisions which you made on impulse, sudden, involuntary, inclination prompting one to action. Amen. And now, as you look back, you really and truly wish you had not gone ahead with that decision. I discovered long ago that when person A talks to person B, language may not mean the same thing to each one. This is why I always recommend my sheep, when they're talking to other people, to probe when they're communicating with someone. To ask in a friendly, non-threatening way, well, you know, what do you mean by that? You claim you're still going to the Catholic Church and you've been reborn. That doesn't juxtapose. That doesn't make any sense to me. Because if the Holy Spirit's truly within you, he's going to push you away from the mother whore. Now you know how I feel about Roman Catholicism. I'm Roman Catholic and I've accepted Jesus. What does accepted Jesus mean? And the priest, because we have 750,000 Roman Catholics in this area, so I know a little bit about Catholicism. And the priest, you see, has already told them that if anybody asks you, if any Protestant asks you, have you accepted Jesus, tell them yes. But see, in their minds, accepted Jesus means Holy Eucharist. You've put the wafer on your tongue. Or you had confirmation. But see, that's not what accepted Jesus is, according to what this means. Now, what does the title word antidote mean? Anybody know? The antidote for impulsive and impatient spirits. What is an antidote?
Cure.
Yeah, cure. A remedy which counteracts the effects of something. Right? If you have a snake bite, right, they give you a shot, an antidote, correct? Right? Anybody ever been here, snake bit? Paul, you've been snake bit, really. So today, we want to learn what the owner's manual says. Here's the owner's manual. What the owner's manual says, what the written word of God has to give to counteract impulsiveness and impatience. Turn to Isaiah 30 and verse 18. Let's go to the Old Testament. Isaiah 30 and verse 18. As soon as you get there, please look up. Before I read it, I'd like to remind us of Hebrews 4:12. That the Word of God is alive and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and to the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the human heart. 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is theonoustos, God-breathed, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be teleos, perfect, complete, thoroughly furnished, unto all good works. Isaiah 30, 18, this is the word of God. Therefore, the Lord longs to be gracious to you, and therefore he waits. Underline that. Those two words. He waits. On high, to have compassion on you. People, that's great news, isn't it? For Yahweh is a God of justice. How blessed are all those who long for him. And that's whether, you know, Yahweh the Father or Yahweh the Son. either one. Always, always, always have Bible companion books. And by the way, we have a number of them in the Agape Bible Book Room you can avail yourself of. And for serious Bible study, you need an exhaustive concordance, a couple of good commentaries, some word study books like Vines or New National Dictionary of New Testament Words, NIDNTT, or some other basic Vincent's Bible study tools. Because texts, you got to study them. And always remember that texts must be studied in their what? Context. Because a text without its context is a pretext. You're seeing something that's not there. You're drawing conclusions that are not accurate. Historically, the context of Isaiah 30, 18, the context is, let's set the scene. God's people are in where? Anybody remember? Where was this? Well, yeah, but where's this? Where was this lady June? Where was she? Say she from north? Yeah, and guess what? These people were literally in Babylon, captivity. The northern kingdom had gone in 780, 782, The northern kingdom was went into captivity to Assyria. The southern kingdom, Judah, went into Babylon. 586 BC, 722, 721 BC, the northern kingdom. And this is the southern kingdom that Isaiah is speaking to. Judah was the southern kingdom. And they're in Babylon because, Alan, what did you say, rebellion? Because God had to judge them for their rebellion, for their disobedience. This is why they're told to wait. Because how long would they be in Babylon? Anybody know? How many? 70. Yes, 70 years. Now, look up here, please. Subtract 70 years from your life. What are you in the negative? Minus 14. Anybody else? EJ, how much are you minus? And this is basic number line stuff. Remember, Royal, studying number lines, positive, negative integers. What is Frank? Frank's only 5. He looks young. He's a young-looking guy. He's dapper. George, how old are you? Minus 18. Minus from 70. Anybody here in the positive territory? That means we got no one here 70 or older. Correct? People, I'm trying to point out to you is that that's a long time. That's a long time. It's really a lifetime, right? 3 score year and 10, yeah. Anything else is frosting on the cake. 3 score year and 10. 70 years they were in Babylon. What a tremendous and blessed truth. We are told in verse 18, the Lord longs to be gracious to you. Isn't that neat? He longs to show his compassion and to be gracious to us. What a tremendous truth. He waits so he can be gracious to us. But he must wait because his just nature, why? What is God? He's holy and righteous and begins with a J. Just. His justice will not let him just, you know, fall head over heels with a sinner, in love with a sinner, who will not confess and ask forgiveness that his son died for. He must wait because his just nature demands that sin be punished. Verse 18 says he is a God of justice, right? For Yahweh, for the Lord is a God of what? Underline it. A God of justice. It's right there in the text. I'm showing you in the verse. He's a God of justice. When you heard in the news, and that maybe you looked at the internet like I did, the Drudge Report, and Matt Drudge is the first one who broke the story of Monica Lewinsky, and he's got more hits than Fox News, because he has more hits than anybody. DRUDGE, DrudgeReport.com. And When I read in the Drudge Report last week that this father had got so angry at this 18-month-old baby that he stabbed the baby in the back with a knife and threw the baby out the car, speeding car window. What does that do, moms, dads? What does that do in you? Does anything rise up and say, someone has got to bring justice to that man? Imagine if you were that infant. Imagine if you're in the car behind and you see this baby out the window and you can't stop and you're running over it. Him, her. Not it, him, her. The man acted on impulse. Yeah, now I'm making you act on impulse too. You're learning. Lesson number one. Learn to wait on God. Learn to follow His example. And be blessed. Be impatient and be cursed. It's that simple. Learn to wait on God and follow His example and be blessed. Be impatient and be cursed. Turn your Bibles to Psalm 106. Psalm 106, so just turn left, okay? Anybody in Isaiah, just turn left. Psalm 106 and verse 13. Let's pick it up at verse 13. Psalm 106 and verse 13. Just a couple of verses, 13 to 15. They quickly forgot His works. They did not wait for His counsel. Underline that. They did not wait for His counsel, but craved intensely in the wilderness and tested God, put God to the test in the desert. So He gave them their request, but sent a wasting disease among them. The psalmist is recounting Israel's rebellion and later Yahweh's deliverance. Keep your finger there and turn over to 1 Corinthians 10:11. Let's go to the New Testament. 1 Corinthians 10:11. Why is there bad news recorded in the Old Testament? Why are we given, why are we able to look through the peephole in the fence and see how Israel responded and what God did? Here's why. Verse 11, now these things happened to them as an example, 1 Corinthians 10:11, and they were written for our instruction, upon whom the ends of the ages have come. Yeah, we've been in the last days for the past 2,000 years. I believe we're in the last seconds of the last minutes of the last weeks. Right? But we've been in the last days for 2,000 years now. But they're written for our instruction, as an example for us. Hey, don't go that way. Don't do what they did. Turn back to Psalm 106. You see, we're always to learn from the sins and foolish choices of others, to not follow down that same foolish path. Look up here, please. Sheep. There's a bridge out. It's raining. It's dark. There's a bridge out. But the guy who sped through that sign that warned you, he screeched to a halt because he was going too fast, couldn't slow down, and found that as he got out of his vehicle, the bridge was out. He ran back in case anybody else was coming, and it's you. And he's screaming, bridge is out, don't go any further, don't go any further. Are you going to say, well, no, I'm going to test it myself. Leave me alone. Get out of my way. What are you, a redneck like John Rosella? For those of you listening on CD, get a copy of the write P.O. Box 236, East Aurora, New York, 14052, and get a copy of the testimonies. You'll understand what we mean by that. Now, back to the story. Rather than foolishly and stupidly pushing him out of the way, nearly running him over, and, you know, speeding up the vehicle with your family inside and your loved ones inside, and you go over the bridge and plummet to your death, what do? You learn from his example. You don't have to commit the same stupid choice as he almost killed himself and his family. You get the point. In Psalm 106, the psalmist is describing a very brief history of Israel's very poor performance in her. She got an F on the credit card. F on the report card. Yeah, all right. It's been a long workshop. Very dismal record of obedience to the Lord God. Look at how verse 13 begins. With the words, quickly forgot. How'd they do it? Quickly. A little impatience there, huh? You know, it's amazing. You're going to walk away from this weekend. You're going to see, you've seen literally hundreds of miracles this weekend. And guess what the demons are going to do to you Monday, tomorrow morning? They're going to erase the tapes. And you're going to say, yeah, Roselle is a redneck. He's from South Emporium. I knew it. He couldn't be trusted. Not a real Yankee. You're going to walk and you're going to say, I think Pastor John is a cult leader. And his choice friend was Frank Forrester. He looked like a phony too. He's probably panhandling in Chicago instead of, you know, being in air traffic control. He's not doing that. The demons are going to fill your mind, right, with all kinds of thoughts. And they're going to say it was all play acting. They're just fringe Christians that they're a little deceived and they got off on the wrong foot. They're going to fill your mind with doubt. And then you're going to act impulsively. Sounds like deliverance. See, the demons would cause us to forget things, just like they caused Israel to forget how much God had done for them. When I was in Israel a couple years ago, I couldn't believe we had a Jewish guide, and then we had also a former pastor who's bringing people to Israel and really getting them, you know, into God's word and into the Holy Land and so forth. And one of the things he said is, you know, that after 3.5 years of seeing Jesus' miracles, the disciples got used to him. Oh, it's another hand forming. Yeah, who cares? Someone else risen from the dead? Yeah, we've seen 10 of those already yesterday. Do we have anything new? Can you imagine getting so used to miracle after miracle after miracle that you're going... And it's not a demon leaving. You're bored. Your heart's in the wrong place. You're no longer compassionate anymore. And your knee-jerk reaction, your impatient reaction is just, well, so what? Someone else is, another demon leaves. Who cares? I got better things to do. I got laundry. You know? I got to think about work tomorrow. People don't understand me. Right? Pastor John works 3 hours a week, preaches twice. He's probably using my money to go down to who knows how many trips to Florida the guy's made, right? You got to see what they tell me about you. You know, I know they tell some nasty things on me that aren't true. You ought to hear what they tell me about you. Jamie Chow is a member of the Chinese Mafia. You know, and all sorts of things that they tell me, you know. Incredible. But you're going to be bombarded, and they're going to put doubt and unbelief, and they're going to cause you quickly to forget what the Lord has done for you this weekend. Don't let it happen. Don't let it happen. Don't let it happen. Attack what? Who would you attack? Maybe a spirit of forgetfulness? All right? Maybe some other related spirits that work in your mind. Attack them. Go after them. Hit them. When I've gone on ministry trips, you know, I get prayer with the guys, and they'll pray with me, you know, to come against spirits that are already planning to attack me while I'm gone. So if they're not there to attack, right? Duh. Then hit them. Hit them today. The ones that have planned for you this week. To do something. Hit that spirit of destruction. I got a good deliverance in spirit of destruction last night. Come in with alcohol. His name was Alcoholic Destruction. Got some good prayer. I praise the Lord for that. You say, Pastor, what do I do? Well, they're going to try to, you know, quickly forget. They're going to try to act impulsively. All right? No more workshops. Yeah, I need workshops. No more workshops. It's amazing what the connection is between me and workshops and this church, right? Something goes wrong with your car. Ah, I'm never going back to Agape. What did I do to your car? Right? Someone takes a baseball to your windshield or to your window because they're trying to get your radio inside, you know? I said, no more deliverance. Nah, this isn't worth it. What does deliverance have to do with a baseball bat? You say, well, Pastor, maybe demonic attack. Well, yeah, but don't you know, bite the hand that feeds you. Don't kill the goose that, you know where I'm going. If anything, get more so, you know, it doesn't bother you. Do what you will. You're not going to stop me. Instead of giving up, right? Some of you had that when your wife burnt the toast right during the honeymoon. Nah, you're out of here. Right? She just burnt the toast. So what? She had a burnt offering. Just let it waft up to God and let him, you know, just say, honey, it was interesting. The peas were a little hard, but I just used them to bounce off the floor and pass my time. It's okay. Turn to Psalm 119, verse 24. Psalm 119 is the longest chapter in the Bible. Psalm 119 and verse 24. What do you do when the enemy begins to get you to knee-jerk react and no more workshops and I'm giving up on that and this demon stuff is for the birds and I'm not getting any better and look at everybody's leaving. Nobody wants to do it for long. This isn't for me. What do? Psalm 119, verse 24. Thy testimonies are also my delight. They are my counselors. So you're going to listen to wicked counsel spirits, or are you going to go to the Word and listen to good counsel? Right? Where do you go for counsel? Turn to Proverbs 24. Proverbs 24. You go back to the Word of God. You say, wait a minute. These signs will follow those who believe. And first sign is in my name. They will cast out demons. Do you talk to your soul? How many people talk to their soul? I do. I talk to my soul all the time. Yeah, I'm not going down that path. I know where that road's going. I'm not going to be, I'm not a sucker. You sucker punched me once. I'm not going to be sucker punched me twice. I'm not going to think those things. I'm not going down that road. Nope. I start singing praise songs. And immediately, the demons lay off. And I reckon myself, the flesh dead unto sin, alive unto Christ, and it's gone. It stops. Focus your heart, mind, and attention on the Word of God. Thy Word have I hidden in my heart, that I might not sin. That's right in Psalm 119, by the way, where we were. Proverbs 24, verses 5 and 6. A wise man is strong. Literally, a wise man is in strength. That's where you get your strength. You're wise in God's word. A wise man is strong. A wise woman is strong. And a man of knowledge increases power. For by wise guidance you will wage war. And an abundance of counselors there is victory. See, part of your problem is you're in love with a boy, and you don't want to tell your parents because you know that they probably wouldn't approve. And so your demons will be happy to step in and give you plenty of counsel. Wicked counselors are their names. So you hide it, and you get deeper and deeper into a soul tie, and you can't break out because you're constantly thinking about them. And it works the other way too, by the way, vice versa, between the guys and the girls. And you should have gone to for counsel and said, you know, I met someone on the internet. Yeah? Are they saved? Well, they talk about Jesus. Well, so what? The devil talks about things about Jesus too. See, we're to go, what does it say? In abundance of counselors, there is victory. Is that what it says? Underline that. In abundance of counselors, there is victory. Because these are wise people, because the wise man is strong. The wise woman is strong. You want to go to people for wisdom. If you have that demon called a will to be deceived, then you're going to go to someone who's going to tell you, oh, yeah, anybody on the internet. Yeah, good, he's interested in you. Go ahead, talk to him. Yeah. No problem. Because you wanted to hear that. So you went to someone who would stamp, you know, rubber stamp everything you're saying. Instead of going to someone who's wise. Someone who knows, like your parents, someone in authority, someone who you trust, someone who is worth listening to. My mind goes back to someone who used to come here, and this person would stand up and, I listen to no man. I know he was talking about me. I listen to no man, only Jesus. Right? And every time I heard her say that, I thought, lady, you're a mess. I love you, but you're a mess. She get deliverance, get up off the floor, no change in life. No change at all. No. What did Wynn say? Frank, no difference, no deliverance. No genuine deliverance. Well, you're coughing up spit and stuff, but there's nothing leaving. Don't fool yourself. God wants you to talk to people to counsel you. He wants you to ask questions. He wants you to seriously think about what you're doing and take time. Don't rush into anything. Lesson number two for today, a sure red flag that something's wrong is when you don't want to seek after and wait for wise counsel. You want to rush into it. Right? You don't want to pray about it. A certain red flag that something's wrong is when we do not want to seek after and wait for wise counsel about something or about someone. Check out what great things await those of us who forget God's wonderful works and do not want to wait for wise counsel, but want to barrel on ahead impulsively. Yeah. Turn to Numbers 11. Exactly what the psalm was talking about, this event. Numbers 11. Anybody know what the book of Numbers is about? You got a whole room of savants here. Numbers, yes. Numbers. Numbers 11, verses 4 to 6, what does it say? And the rabble who were among them had greedy desires. And also the sons of Israel wept again and said, who will give us meat to eat? We remember the fish which we used to eat free in Egypt. Because they don't remember all the back-breaking hours of mud-slinging and mud-brick building and all the hot sun of Egypt. They don't remember the whips and the taskmasters. Oh, the cucumbers and the melons and the leeks and the onions and the garlic. But now our appetite is gone. There's nothing at all to look at except this manna. Can you hear the total disdain? Yes, yes, yes. Look at verse 10. Now Moses heard the people weeping throughout their families, each man at the doorway of his tent, and the anger of the Lord was greatly kindled. And Moses was displeased. So they got both the head honcho and Yahweh mad at them. Uh-oh, this is not a good scene. Well, you want to mouth off and tell God he doesn't know what he's doing, and we're sick of this food. We want meat. We want meat. We want meat. Right? I did that very good, by the way, didn't I? I practice. Verse 18. Say to the people. This is what Yahweh tells them. Tells Moses to tell them. Consecrate yourselves for tomorrow, and you shall eat meat. For you have wept in the ears of the Lord, saying, oh, that someone would give us meat to eat, for we were well off in Egypt. You liars. It's amazing about how you remember the good old days, right? Everybody go back in their memories and say, oh, I remember, and I remember, and I remember. But you forget, really, they weren't that good. Deja vu. Probably get rid of him. Look at verse 18. Therefore Yahweh will give you meat and you shall eat. You shall eat not one day, nor 2 days, nor 5 days, nor 10 days, nor 20 days, but a whole 30 days until it comes out of your nostrils and becomes loathsome to you. Because you have rejected Yahweh who is among you and have wept before him saying, why did we ever leave Egypt? Never forget, God remembers and hears everything we say. Now that's comforting when we're in a good mood, but when we're in a bad mood, it ain't so hot. Look at verse 33. And the people, God brings this, remember this wind he brings and all the quail come a-flying, right? Anybody eat quail? Anybody eat quail? Or how about pheasant? Steve, what does pheasant taste like?
Chicken.
Chicken? So why don't you just go buy a chicken? They all taste like chicken, yeah. Well, thank you, Stephen. Appreciate your input. I always get counsel from you, Stephen. Verse 33. While the meat was still between their teeth, they didn't even have time to get a toothpick or floss. Before it was chewed, the anger of Yahweh was kindled against the people, and Yahweh struck the people with a very severe plague. People, they were falling like flies. Wasting disease is what the psalmist called it, right? Interesting. Cancer is a wasting disease, isn't it? And other forms of wasting diseases. Don't you think they ended up regretting that course of action? Just blurting out of their mouths what they were feeling that day? Unthankful, ungrateful. Oh, I wish we were back in Egypt. Right? Just impulsively. What are you, is time delay or something? We're not doing rounds here, people. Evil spirits of cravings and food addiction, food idolatry, spirits were working with greed and covetousness, never satisfied, impatience, to bring down on them a whole heap of trouble and heartache. Many of them, they died on the spot from a severe plague. They, that God had brought on them, and the psalmist calls it a wasting disease. Lesson three, learn wisely. Now, let me put the adverb first. Wisely learn from others' sins and consequences, not following their own, their stupid course of action. Learn, wisely learn from the sins and consequences of others, choosing not to follow their same stupid course of action. Let's learn from the Israelites. Turn to Proverbs 24, one of our last texts, next to last text. Proverbs 24, you're doing good, sheep. Some of you really want to fall asleep, but you know you dare not, because then you can't blurt out the course of inclination and action and all the words that follow impulse. Look at Proverbs 21. Proverbs 24, 21. The writer of Proverbs says, "My son," this is my daughter too, "my son, fear Yahweh and the king. Do not associate with those who are given to change, for their calamity will rise suddenly, and who knows the ruin that comes from both of them?" So true Christians should fear and respect and honor both the Lord and who else? Yeah, authority, governmental authority. Who are we not to respect, associate with? Thank you. People who, NAS, New American Standard says, people who change. In context, those who rebel against authority, rebels, political agitators. However, I believe this describes people who act out their whims, some who will do anything for a buck. When President Bush was visiting in South and Central America recently, the news broadcast had, you know, these guys, you know, "Down with Bush, down with Bush, down with America," you know, all the burning effigies and stuff. And, you know, a lot of those guys were paid to do that. Yeah, they were given money to do it. They had nothing to do. They're standing on the street corner and say, "Hey, we want you to go do this, go burn this thing, make it." Oh, yeah, they were paid to do it. Some people do anything for a buck, just on a whim. "Oh, yeah, I'll be glad to do it." Sure, it doesn't matter. They're people who change quickly for money. Political agitators. Steve said in the King James translation, rebel. Any old job will do as long as they're getting, you know, making some bucks. But did they ever bother to think that they may be on national television? Worldwide television? And they're part of this anti-Bush hatred thing? I mean, their relatives may recognize them. Speaking of gluttony, by the way, have you ever wondered about those people who you see them on television and they're always examples of obesity? Could you imagine? You know, they never show their face, they just show their belly. You know what I'm talking about? You see them on the news. The latest government report is that 80% of Americans are obese and overweight. And all of a sudden they never show the guy's face. How do you think, don't you think the guy watches television? Don't you think he looks at the TV and says, "Hey, I recognize that shirt. Oh, no. I guess I'm not wearing that shirt again." But what happens the next day, Frank, when he goes into the work? What do you think his guys tell him? "Hey, Bill, I saw you yesterday. I saw your fat gut yesterday." "Well, how do you know that was me?" "Well, Bill, I've seen you in that shirt before." "Hey, I'm not going to be caught dead wearing that shirt again." Did these guys who were protesting, giving money, did they really think, "Well, wait a minute, I don't think I want to do that. Because I don't really think anything about Bush. I don't really care. I'm not going to do this for money." They act impulsively. Is there a halftime in this message? Lesson number four. I'm almost done. Lesson number four. Steer clear of people who seem to generally act out on a whim and never seriously think things through. So what are you doing this weekend? Hey, I'm getting married. Oh, who are you marrying? I don't know. We met yesterday. You don't know her name and you're marrying her tomorrow? Well, yeah. You know, it's like what kind of Kleenex do you use? Oh, yeah, I use it. Stay away from those kind of people. Pastor Chuck Swindoll said, I heard him on the radio the other day. He says, quote, most people don't think things through before they act or react, end quote. Most people don't think things through. They just do things. Proverbs 23. Let's go one more time for... let's go to Proverbs 23. One chapter before. The end of the... look at this. Proverbs 23. Look at verse 30. Those who linger long over wine, those who go to taste mixed wine, do not look... let's see, go to verse 35. They struck me, but I did not become ill. They beat me, but I did not know it. When shall I awake? Ah, go get another drink. What's that describing there? Well, the whole conference has been dealing with alcohol, alcohol spirits, alcoholic patterns, alcohol addictions, all sorts of alcoholic spending patterns, thinking like an alcoholic, eating like an alcoholic, handling money like an alcoholic, right? All the alcoholic stuff. While alcoholics may wait at times, they're waiting for the wrong thing. You get it? Where are they waiting? They're waiting for the bar to open. Hello, McFly, you have a problem here. You have an alcohol problem. You shouldn't be waiting for the bar to open. Oh, they'll taste the wine. By the way, it's mixed, notice, mixed wine. Then they go for the unmixed. Well, someone's got to be a wine taster here. How often one of those wine tasters? They ever get drunk? You know, they're on the fifth glass. Oh, yeah, this stuff's really good. You know, they got to get drunk. That's a great job, huh? You're setting yourself up for temptation. So they're waiting. They're being patient in the wrong area. How stupid can you get? By the way, stupor spirits come in that make you stupid. Stupor? Stupor? And what do they? And how do they end up in verse 35? We just read it. Literally says in the Hebrew, I will seek it yet again. God's judgment for the primary sin of idolatry is more demons enter, which puts us in bondage more to the sin. So they want more and they can't control it. And that, you know, cute little monkey... You know, they've been feeding crackers. All of a sudden, there's a huge gorilla. He's King Kong, and they're trying to walk with him now. And it just does not work. Lesson number four, freedom to drink is really bondage to drink. Freedom to drink is really bondage to drink. And this is one of the problems I found when I was in the Southern Baptist, by the way. Go to the churches. Oh, yeah, they'll be talking about having a nightcap. They'll be going to the restaurants and having some wine. They'll be, you know, they'll act like, hey, I'm a Christian now. We're under grace. I can drink. No problem. It's sad. Because freedom to drink is really bondage to drink. I just got 5 minutes left. Judges 14. We won't turn there. All of you know. How many have heard of Samson and Delilah? Samson, who got a haircut in the devil's barbershop, remember? Samson and Delilah. Look it up later. Judges 14, 16. Judges 14, 1 to 4. And Judges 16, 15 to 17. Just write those verses down. 15 to 17. Literally, his soul was impatient to the point of death. His soul was impatient to the point of death. He was in total lust for Delilah. He loved and lusted after Philistine women, strange women. That was his downfall. And he was like an ox going to the slaughter. Samson stupidly told her all that was in his heart. People, there are very few times you tell anybody what is all that's in your heart. Right? The only one who you tell all that's in your heart is who? Is the Lord. And that's it. You never share some really intimate details with, especially guys you've known for 2 weeks. Oh, let me tell you what's in my heart. Never do that. You're an idiot. In fact, you're a double idiot. You keep it superficial. None of their business what's in your heart. Because they're going to use their heart against you. Be very careful. We are so gullible as people, aren't we? We're so gullible. I think Pastor Roy called us gullible gooses, remember? So gullible. Lesson number 5, be careful of infatuation and lust, which can pull you into sharing things you ought not to share with anyone except God or your spouse. Maybe your pastor, but some people have a habit of telling me things I really don't want to know. I go on overload. I mean, they tell me all these details, like, you know, I really didn't need to know that. Another lesson, and I close with this from Samson, don't hang around whores and whoremongers because they'll cause you to do stupid things. Did you hear what I said? Don't hang around whores and whoremongers. What's a whore? Anybody? Yeah, Britney Spears. There's a good example of a whore. She's a married whore, but she's still a whore. And a whoremonger is someone who goes after whores. And those are demons, by the way. Those are spirits. Isaiah 40. I get 2 minutes. Isaiah 40. Let's run over to there really quick. It's a key verse. Isaiah 40, and I close. Isaiah 40. You know the verse, and I don't really even have to say it. It goes, those who wait on the Lord will what? Renew their strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and walk and not become weary. What's the first words? What are the first words? Yet those who wait. Underline that. Yet those who wait. So lesson number, is it number 7? Learn to wait on the Lord. Christians have never yet learned how to be patient and to wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. You can close your Bibles. It's amazing how we as believers, we've grown up with so much quickness, right? How long does it take to pop popcorn, Royal? Yeah, 2-3 minutes. You stick it, hit the popcorn button. There it is, right? You can stick one of those Hot Pockets in the microwave. How many minutes you need for the lava rock? Two? Takes you 5 minutes to down it, and then you say, why did I eat that for? Right? What were they thinking when they invented that thing? Guy must have been drunk. I don't eat them. I'm sorry. Yeah, if you like them, I'm sorry. I'm sorry for offending you. But everything is impulse. You know, we bring the world into the church because, and that's why we go to the quick Benny Hinn fixes. We go to the meetings that can quickly, mature Christian, yep, 10 minutes or less, or your money back. The problem is that this book says just the opposite.
They don't give you money
back. Yeah, okay, that's right. They keep your money and they don't even fulfill their promise, right? Do you read about that guy who was hired to finally quiet all these news organizations who were coming after Benny Hinn? They hired him and paid him money, paid him a salary to go into the files, to go all after all of the healings that bona fide, doctors verified, x-ray verified, took place by Benny Hinn. You know how many he found? Not one. Not one. Not one. Not one. This is just for fun. Impulse. Boy, we lost it about halfway. Sheep, you did excellent. Now, let's get into some signs and wonders following. What would you hit? Impulse? Steve's up here shaking his head. I can't believe he does this. Impatience. All sorts of spirits to hit. Forgetting God's works. All sorts of things. Go after him. Hit him hard. Go home without him. Go to sleep tonight without him. All right? Let's pray. Please bow your heads with me. Father, as we come to you and as we indeed bow our heads before your holy presence, we thank you that you left your owner's manual with us. And Father, thank you for just a great conference, and thank you for everything that you did to make it happen. We praise you for the Holy Spirit and the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for the Holy Spirit who is in us. And if Steve Teague so well reminded us that we are the temple of the Holy Spirit, and Father, we need to live like it. We thank you that we are the Holy of Holies, and that the Holy of Holies indwells us. And Father, we pray that you'll burn the truth into our brains, into our hearts, and teach us to number our days, to apply our hearts unto wisdom. We give you praise, we give you glory. We thank you for your Son, the Lord Jesus. In his name, amen.